to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 26 through 38. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And when you get there, if you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke, chapter 1, starting with verse 26. And here the Bible says, "And in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I'm praying now, God, you anoint me for a few minutes, Lord, to be able to expound upon this text. May you be glorified in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, if you notice, I placed the emphasis this morning on the word shall and shout. You're going to find that word used many, many times here in our good King James Bible. And it's in there for a reason. If it wasn't in there, God wouldn't have put it in there. Every single word in this Bible is in there for a reason. It's for us to read and to understand God and to know exactly who God is and how we can have a relationship with Him, a personal one. Well, here this morning as we look in this Scripture, I can't help but notice how this message was gave to Mary. I mean, it was very different than the messages we receive today. I mean, already this morning, like at 1 o'clock in the morning, I received a text message from someone that a loved one had passed away. I received inbox messages from social media from other folks talking about certain things. All this morning, yesterday, there was a knock on the door, and we went to the door, and it was the post office giving us a message. And all through before Christmas came, we was ordering gifts off Amazon, and the FedEx and UPS people were leaving our packages all over the neighborhood, and we were going to find them. But they were bringing messages to us in certain ways. Well, back here in the days of Jesus, there was no FedEx, there was no UPS, there was no United States Postal Service, there was no text messaging, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no instant messaging, there was no Instagram, there was none of these things today that distract us so much. There was simply the Word of God being sent by His messenger, and here we see the messenger's name is Gabriel. Gabriel. And I want you to know that this message arrived exactly on time. The exact time that God had set apart, that He had appointed for the message of the Savior of the world to be sent to man so that man could be saved, that message was perfect and right on time. Today you may be delayed in your packages. You may receive a message saying your package has been delayed, or there's been a storm in the west or something, and we've been delayed, our planes are down, or something like that. This message that God has sent through Gabriel, His messenger angel, and by the way, there's three angels mentioned in the Bible. One of them, of course, is Lucifer, Satan, but the other is Gabriel, and of course, we have Michael, the archangel. But Gabriel is a messenger angel. He sends messages that God gives him to give to man. 400 years before he appeared here to Mary, he appeared to Daniel. We've been studying Daniel in my Sunday school class. And we've been talking about Gabriel quite often as he had conversations with Daniel, as he brought him messages that God gave him through visions that Daniel had received. We read about Gabriel over there in Daniel, and we read about him in the Gospel of Luke We went and talked to John the Baptist's father before John the Baptist was born, Zacharias, as he was there in the temple praying and going through all the things in the temple. And the angel Gabriel came and spoke to him and told him that his wife was going to have a child, and he didn't believe the angel. And so because of that, he was caused to become dumb. He couldn't speak until the baby was born. And so Gabriel is sent now to this little, she's probably 13 years old, around that age period. She's a young lady. That was the common time to be espoused to a man in those days. And so Mary was very young, probably a teenager, could have been 12, 13, 14 years old, just a very young girl. And the Bible says that she was a virgin. And that was very important that the Bible explains that and tells us that. And that's for a reason. And I'll be telling you about that in just a minute. But there in the beginning of our text, it said in Luke 1 and 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Well, Gabriel, like I said, has mentioned these times here and in the book of Daniel. But here, the city of Galilee named Nazareth, according to the prophecy, that is where the Messiah would be born. This had been prophesied for many, many years. And like I mentioned last Sunday in my message, there should have been men lined up all over the place waiting for this event to occur. All the signs were there. The star was there. They knew where it was going to happen. They knew everything that was going to occur because they'd already been told by God's men back in the days of the prophets. But nobody was waiting except that one man we know, Simeon, there in the temple. But nobody was expecting this birth of Christ, the Savior. But it says he was born there just in the place that God appointed and God said. Over in Matthew 2 and 23, the Bible says, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Well, one of the reasons that people had a hard time believing that the Messiah was going to come out of such a place as Nazareth was because Nazareth at that time was looked down upon heavily. There had been a lot of Gentiles had moved into that area. A lot of the Jews had been pushed out, and there was a lot of Gentiles. And so that's why you may find, like Nathaniel over in the Gospel of John, he says, "Is there anything good that comes out of there?" He said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Boy, if he only knew just how good, how great that was that came out of Nazareth. But he found out. But verse 27 of our text says, "To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." The Bible points out many times that Mary was a virgin, and that's for a reason. You see, Jesus had to be born without sin. He had to be born without that sin that you and I were born with, that one that we inherited from the first Adam. But he had to be born without this sin nature. So he had to be conceived in the womb of a woman that had not ever had a relationship with a man. And he was born of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. It was God in the third person of the Holy Spirit that came and visited Mary, overshadowed her, and he's the one that caused Jesus to be born inside of her. And so there was no sin in Jesus. Adam also was born without sin, but Adam decided to sin. He disobeyed God, and he rebelled against God, and he sinned. And we know because of that sin, sin was handed down to all men, and so all men must be saved today. But Jesus was born fully man and fully God. He understands the trials and the things that we go through. He even understands the temptations, although Jesus never gave in to any temptations. Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect and spotless life here on this earth for 33 and approximately a third years. Never committed a sin. But he was faced with the same things that we are faced with, yet he did not sin. And so he understands your struggles and your trials. Many people may think, well, because he's a God, because he's a deity, because he's perfect, that he can't even know what I'm going through. Trust me, he knows what you're going through. He knows everything about you. He knows every hair on your head. You know he's counted them. You know he knows every one of them. He knew you before you were born. That's how much he knows you and the things you go through. And he loves you. But he dwelled here on this earth as a man, and he understands us. But because of this, because that we have that sin nature, we must get to know him. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is an explanation of why Jesus had to be sent here to be born of a virgin and of the Holy Ghost. And he couldn't be just born of a man and a woman, a normal man or a woman that would sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one man that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, that's us, friends, that condemnation was came to us because of the sin of Adam. But look what it says. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so the free gift of Jesus ensured that we could be justified in front of the Lord. Because without the gift of salvation, without Jesus interceding for us and stepping in on our behalf, friends, we wouldn't have any hope. We'd be in hell with our back ropes today. I want you to know, because of the gift of Jesus Christ, the sinless one, the one that came, the unspotted lamb that came and died for us on the cross of Calvary and was born as a lowly servant in a manger. He wasn't born into royalty like kings are today, although he was the king. He is the king. He's the king of all kings. But he was born just nothing but a servant in a manger. And so because of this free gift that Jesus gave each and every person on the face of this earth, we have the ability to trust Him by faith. All it takes, friends, and it's not complicated. Many people want to complicate things, but it's not complicated. It was for the Lord, and it was very costly for the Lord, the things that He had to do. But for you and I, it's not complicated. Friends, all it takes is for us is to realize that we're a sinner bound for hell. We know that we have no hope without Jesus. We can't get to heaven on our own. We can't stand before the righteous judge on our own. And so we have to have a substitute. And there's nobody here on this earth that is able to be our substitute. There's no amount of money. There's no friend. There's nobody here that's able to be your substitute. There was one man. And by one man, we can all be justified. And to be justified means that you can stand just in front of the holy, righteous God. And because of Jesus being the perfect one, and He died for us, and He shed His blood on Calvary, all we got to do is we realize we're a sinner. Lord, I want to repent of my sins, and I trust Jesus as my Savior to save me. And that's all you got to do, friends. It's not a hard thing. It's not something you got to work at. It's not something you got to do all these things. But once you're saved, I want you to know, once you're saved forever. You're saved eternally. If you've truly been saved, your salvation is not taken away from you. We can't be plucked out of God's hand by anything or anybody. We're saved eternally. But we must be born again. We must be saved. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved, the free gift of Jesus. Continue looking there in our text in verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now remember, this young girl that's here, and she's not experienced in all the things of the world. She don't understand all these things. But here an angel comes to her, and she's puzzled. She, how can this be? I don't understand this. I've never been with a man. I don't know how this is going to be possible. And the angel tells her that she's been found highly favored of God. He looked down and said, that's who I want to bear my son, Jesus. Now, this espousal thing, this was a legal thing. And really the only way you could get out of being a spouse to someone was a legal divorce in that day and time. But you would get a spouse to someone we kind of call it engagement today. It's similar to an engagement. She would have been around 13 years old, and they would have been a one-year waiting period before they got married. And the husband would go, and he would build him a place to live and prepare things. And then after the year, then he would take her as his wife, and they would live together. And then they would have relationships after they were married, but not before. And this Mary has never had a relationship with a man. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. If you look through your Bible, you're going to find in these verses that we've read, there's 12 different times that Gabriel uses the word shall or shalt. Shall or shalt. That definition of this word is something that will take place. It will take place. It will exist in the future. It's a promise, a requirement. It's an obligation, something that is inevitable. It's going to happen, and there's nothing you can do to put the brakes on it. And the Gabriel comes to her and says, this shall happen. This is going to happen, and you can guarantee it. You can bank on it. If God says it, He means it, and that's all it takes. Gabriel tells Mary, thou shalt conceive. She didn't have a choice. This was going to happen because God said it's going to happen. Not only is she going to have a son, he says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Wouldn't that have been helpful when you're trying to name your children? For the angels come, so don't worry about naming him because we've already named him. His name's going to be Jesus. He's going to be Emmanuel. He's going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to be the Christ. You don't have to worry about naming him. He's already been named by God. God's already named his son. And so she already knows what he's going to be called, Jesus. In Hebrew, that's Iesus or Yahshua or Joshua. The name means Jehovah is salvation. And so that's exactly who he is. Now, this is going to happen just as been prophesied all through the ages by the prophets. Over in Isaiah 7-14, the Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Verse 32 in our text back in Luke chapter 1. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Again, Gabriel uses the word shall 5 times in those 2 verses, meaning this is the way it's going to happen. What all did he say? He said, he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There's no mistaking, friends, that this baby that descended the world to be the Savior of men, to be God with us, shall be all these things. And you know what? He is. He is all of these things. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. No matter how hard the world tries to end his kingdom, no matter how hard the world tries to rid the church out of the world, they want to get rid of the church, hate the church, anything that has to do with the church or the Lord Jesus, we want to stomp it out. You can use names such as God in public. You can use names such as God here and there because people's gods are many gods. There's many gods. But you start using the name the Lord Jesus Christ, you start causing a stir because people don't want to hear the name the Lord Jesus Christ. Always make sure we know who we're talking about. But somebody says, yeah, I believe in God. Which God? The Romans believed in 359 different gods. Which God do you believe in? Do you believe in the God of heaven, the Father? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's our question. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the most important thing. The most important thing. Verse 34 said, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Well, if you read the previous verses where Gabriel was talking to Zacharias about his wife that was going to bear a child, and he did not believe him. He had doubts about it. And like I said, because of that, Gabriel caused him not to be able to speak for the next 9 months until the baby was born. But we see here that Mary is questioning, but she's not in disbelief. That's not what she's questioning. She's not questioning how if it's going to happen. She's just wanting to know how it's going to happen because she don't understand it. So she's not in disbelief. She fully believes it's going to happen, but she just don't know how. And so she says, how? Because I don't know a man. She's never been physically with a man. She just wants to know how this is going to happen. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." Gabriel answers her by telling her exactly how it's going to happen. Well, it's simple, Mary. I'll tell you how it's going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to come and make all of this possible. And so he answers the overshadow. He says overshadow. The Greek word for overshadow is the same word that is used for the overshadowing presence of God back in the Holies of Holies. You know that God's presence was over the Holy of Holies. God actually used this little teenage virgin girl, Mary. He used her womb to be the Holy of Holies for His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how holy it was. Was Mary sinless and perfect and never did anything wrong? Why, no. No. She's not. She's not that. She had to be saved too. Mary had to have a Savior. And she realized that. She had to be had to have a Savior. So she was not sinless. But just like you and I are not perfect, we're not sinless. Yet the Holy Spirit, do you know, I say this all the time, immediately upon your salvation, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and moves inside of you. And so He dwells in you. Are you sinless? Well, no, you're not sinless. You'll continue sinning until you die and you go to heaven. And we're faced with that. That's our flesh. That's our flesh nature that pulls at us and we struggle with it. And so we do sin. But because of Jesus being our Savior, we have a remedy for that. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so our sins can be forgiven. But Mary was not perfect. She simply had grace, just like we do. Simply grace. Unmerited favor. None of us deserve it. I mean, there's not a person alive on the face of this earth is good enough to deserve salvation and God's grace. But He gives it to us, and He gives it to us freely. Verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary, she's a willing vessel that day. She's willing to take on. I don't know if you understand the repercussions here. This little teenage girl who is not yet married. Her and Joseph are not living together like people do today. They are not married. And everybody knows this. And she's going to become with child. She's going to be walking around and everybody's going to know it. And she's willing right here. She says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She didn't say, "Now what am I going to do about all the people talking about me? What's going to happen when they start accusing me of messing around and doing things without being married?" None of that was mentioned right here. She says, "I'm a willing vessel, Lord." She was a willing vessel that day to allow the Lord to do His work through her. She would have to endure the whispers, no doubt, the shame, the people talking about her, all these things that she would have to endure. But she's willing to do it, to be a willing vessel for the Lord. If you look ahead there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, the angels are describing to the shepherds who Jesus is. Now, the shepherds out there are keeping their watch over their flocks by night. And this angel comes to them, and the angel starts describing who Jesus is. And the angel says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Don't let that little verse slip by you. There's a lot of content right there. That first name the angels called Him is a Savior. A Soter, which means a deliverer or a preserver. He's going to be the one that delivers men from their sins. To deliver us. Now, we know the Jews were always looking for the deliverer to get them out of the hands of the Romans. Those awful Romans, they couldn't stand them, and they were waiting for their Messiah to come in on a white stallion and run Rome off and set up his kingdom there in Jerusalem. And He could have, but they rejected Him. But that's who they were waiting for, and that's who the angel says He is. He's your Savior. He's your deliverer. He's your preserver. And He's the one that makes sure that you don't have to experience eternal punishment for your sins. And He goes on to give Him another name. He says He's the Christ. Christ. That's the Christos. The Messiah. The anointed one of God. The one that's qualified to sit upon the throne of God. To be at His right hand. And make intercession for you and I. That's His position right here. He is the Christ. The Christos. And then the third name He gives Him is Lord. Kurios, which means God. If you ever wondered in your mind if Jesus and God are the same, it's all right there in His name. He is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God, manifested Himself in the flesh. God is a spirit. And so to reveal Himself to man, He wrapped Himself in flesh of a man and was born by a virgin in Bethlehem. There in that manger, and He appeared unto men as a man. But it's God. He's the God-man. The Son of God. The Kurios, the Lord. This is the gospel that the angels delivered to these shepherds. They probably don't realize it exactly right now. But He says, today in the city of David there is born for you a deliverer. The anointed one. And He happens to be God. That was my version of it, my translation of it. But notice the angel said, for unto you is born. It didn't say, you know what? A Savior was born to us angels, or us heavenly beings. Or a Savior was born to all the kings. Your king had a Savior born to him. He didn't say that. He came and He made it very personal to these shepherds. He said, a Savior was born unto you. That same Savior that was born unto the shepherds that day was born unto you. You could go through and put your name in place of you. And that's what the angels were saying. Behold, a Savior was sent to Scott, to Joe, to Charlotte, to Roger, to everybody in here. Put your name in that spot. A Savior was sent. He was born unto you so that you could be saved. He is your Lord. He's the Christ. He's your Savior. For unto Byron is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful to think about it that way? How God reveals to us so many things in His Word. And He makes it so personal to us. If you would just sometimes substitute that word you for your own name, I believe you'd get a blessing from it. I know I do. Friend, I want to ask you this morning, on this Christmas morning, has there ever been a time in your life when you've understood that you needed a Savior? That you were lost? You have no hope? That you're lost in your sin? And I want you to know today, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. You're lost. If there's never been a time when God has revealed to you that you're in your lost condition and you needed to be saved, and you trusted Jesus Christ to save you of your sins, if that day has never happened, you're lost. And I want you to know what's going to happen immediately when you close your eyes in death. You're going to hell. If you've never trusted Jesus, you're going to hell. I know that's not popular today, especially here on Christmas morning. Nobody wants to hear about hell, but I want you to know that's the reason that this baby was born in Bethlehem, was to keep you from going to that place called hell. So if you go there, you're going there on your own accord. You're going there despite everything He done for you. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that everyone should trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you've not done that, you're going to go to hell. But there is a way out. And the way out is simply by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. There's that word again. Shall. Not maybe. Not if you clean yourself up. Not if you go out and buy a new suit and carry a King James Bible. That's not what He says. He said, call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. All your good works, all these things are not going to save you. I heard somebody giving a testimony the other day on something, and they were saying, I hope that I've done enough good, Lord. He's in a prayer. I hope, Lord, I've done enough good that I'll be able to see. And then if I've not, I hope I can before I die. It's got nothing to do with your good works. It's got everything to do with His good works. The good work He did for you on the cross of Calvary. When He hung there. When He shed His blood on Calvary for you. And He did it willingly. He did it freely. Do you know when they laid out our Lord's hands across that cross beam? And they started nailing those spikes through His hands? He wasn't screaming and yelling saying, let me out of here. This is a big mistake. I'm not guilty. Let me off of this cross. You know what He did? He laid there and He gave His life. I give my life freely. He came to do the will of the Father. And the Father's will was for Him to die, to save you, and to save me from our sins. Now let me ask you this morning. I want to ask Him to come and get a song, an invitation song. I want to ask you this morning, on Christmas morning, there could be no better time.
If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, and He's been convicting your heart, and by the way, I know what it was like to be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. 6 years old, sitting on a pew, heart pounding out of my chest, realizing I was going to die and go to hell if there wasn't something done about it. The preacher stood up there and he told me what I needed to do, that I needed to trust Jesus as my Savior. And the Lord was pounding my heart. And He was saying, that's what I'm talking about. You need to be saved. And I hit that altar and I prayed. I asked the Lord, forgive me of my sins. And I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And He's been with me ever since. Never left me. Never forsake me. Friend, you can do that too today. There's no better gift at Christmas time than to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. Let's stand this morning. What are we going to sing? Number 81. If you need help today, whether it be for salvation, a backslidden condition, some problem you're dealing with, you come to the altar and meet me. I'll pray with you.